The Diocesan Search Committee of the Diocese of New York and New Jersey presented questions to the nominees they will present at the upcoming Extraordinary Diocesan Assembly for the High Office of Diocesan Bishop. The questions, offered in interview format, were formulated to allow the nominees an opportunity to address, in their own voices, the areas of concern most widely shared throughout the diocese, as delegates and faithful of the parishes seek to prayerfully discern how they shall approach the assembly and the upcoming election. There are two parts to each interview. Each part is comprised of two questions and the responses from the nominee. The following is part two of the interview with Archpriest Michael Dehulich. Father Michael, what are the fundamental attributes you would most highly value in a diocesan hierarch of our church today?
I guess from my seminary training and my seminary teaching, I would say that a hierarch has to be a priest par excellence. I mean, God established a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And I think in the experience of the average parishioner, a bishop is never more a bishop than when he presides at the Eucharist in the parish setting, when he repeats the grace of the mystical supper, makes it available to all of us. When he exercises, as St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, the bishop's privilege of being the servant of Christ and the steward of the mysteries of God. I think that the hierarch also has to be the teacher par excellence. In the consecration service, the fathers write him as a leader of the blind and a light to those in darkness. In the liturgy, every time we offer it, we pray for him as rightly dividing the word of the truth. And the gospel speaks of him as teaching as one having authority. I think the bishop also has to be the role model par excellence. You know, we have heroes of our time, and they don't always have the greatest character. But certainly heroes of the church, the saints, I think a hierarch needs to be, you know, as St. Paul says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So, you know, a role model of honesty and integrity and a moral caliber. It's written out in the letters of Timothy and Titus. But I think the most fundamental, the most basic attribute that the hierarch has to have is that he has to be the father par excellence, a father par excellence. He has to serve God's people and love them. I think there are two experiences in my life that make that perfectly clear to me. One is a commencement address that I heard His Grace Bishop Basil of Wichita give here at St. Tikhon's, where he said the bishop's job is to love his priests. By extension, the priest's job is to love his people. The bishop is the leader in that continuum of love. But the other thing that I, of course, can never forget is when the bishop who ordained me, Bishop John, appeared for the last time publicly at the 40th anniversary of a priest. And one of the last things that he said in honoring this particular priest, he said, you know, he praised him for all that he had done. He said, but, you know, I love all my priests. I love every one of my priests. Each of them has unique gifts to offer to the Lord and to his church. He finished the talk and he sat down and he collapsed and he died. And that's the last thing he said to his priests. And I think that if, you know, a bishop can convey that and priests can feel love, if they can feel that love of Christ in their hierarch, then they have to give the love they've received to their people. I think that's the most important thing because, you know, we define God as truth. We define God as But God essentially is defined as love. That's what it's about.
Father Michael, what are your thoughts about the Diocese of New York and New Jersey? Its challenges, opportunities, direction?
I have to admit that I certainly don't know the Diocese of New York and New Jersey as well as I know the Diocese of Eastern Pennsylvania. Based on my visits and my acquaintances with the clergy and the good people of the diocese, I would like to say that I think the challenges that the diocese faces certainly is the fight against secularism, a secularism that draws people away from services and their commitment to parish life, that draws young people away from the church and away from the priesthood because it's in competition. I think the challenge is to strengthen our parish communities spiritually and materially. And we have to think of new and creative ways, I think, in the 21st century to do the latter, to help parishes that are struggling in this present economy. I think the challenge is to keep our youth in the church, in the faith. OCFs are so important. Church schools are so important. Camps are so important. Every vehicle possible. They are important people in our church. We can't lose but the youth. We have to reach out to non-Orthodox, people who are unchurched, people who are new immigrants from former communist lands through missions. That's a challenge. And finally, I think the greatest challenge, and it piggybacks on what we've already said before, I think, is to restore that relationship in our church, in the diocese, in the parishes, of a Trinitarian ecclesiology, of a relationship of priests and bishop and people that's based on love. Opportunities. Well, I met a lot of well-educated, hardworking, committed to Christ clergy. That's got to be probably the strongest suit that we have to play. So the opportunities are there if we just use each of their talents to do what they like doing and can do best. I think that becomes a great opportunity for us to man all those different repositories of talents. We've gifted lay people with all sorts of talents to tap. In the ministerial outreaches of the church, they're essential. Priests can't do everything themselves. They either give up in the hopelessness of such a daunting situation or they burn out. So we need to use gifted lay people. I think churches in New Jersey and New York are still in sizable population areas. So there's opportunity for potential growth. And there are millions of people out there who need the gospel, who need the grace of the church. There's agnostics and unchurched people and our own people who are sitting home because of hurts that they've experienced and new immigrants from other countries that are all people we need to reach out to. And of course, then there are countless opportunities for us to reach out and serve the least of the brethren, whether it's with a soup kitchen or a coffee house, that we can meet these people, care for these people, show them the love of Christ, and perhaps they will see beyond that to the faith that we've been privileged to bear and bear witness to. And so I think the direction for the diocese has to be just be the church as it was established by Christ. I know that's hard right now with what we've experienced. But the early church overcame crises. We just have to be the church. We have to love one another as He has loved us. We have to feed the hungry and give drink to the thirsty and clothe the naked and visit the sick and the imprisoned. Do all of those things. And if God blesses us with the resources as His beatitude envisions to create institutions, then that's all the better. But to go make disciples of all nations, that certainly is the diocese has to grow. There are towns where there aren't churches, and there are people who aren't Orthodox Christians. And so it's a no-brainer. And I think the key is that, the direction we have to go is that, it can't be about me. It has to be about Christ. We have to be able to say what St. Paul said, it's no longer I who live for myself, but I live my life in the flesh, faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I think we have to, whoever the Bishop of New York, New Jersey is, whoever the priests that are here today and will be here 50 years from now, whoever the lay people are, we have to have that posture. We have to have that perspective to give of ourselves, of our time and our talents and our treasure for that cause, for the church in this place, which is New York, New Jersey. And I pray that God will guide us and bless us and one day reward us for having fought the good fight.
This concludes part 2 of the interview with Archpriest Michael Dehulich.